Welcome to another edition of Hogbeat Radio. I'm your host, Mason Choate. I'm the publisher of Hogbeat.com. I'm joined by Hogbeat Managing Editor Riley McFerrin and staff writer Daniel Fair, who is now the basketball guy on Hogbeat.com. Sorry, Jackson Collier, move aside. Step aside, JC Hoops. It's Daniel Fair's time. We got to talk some basketball in this episode of Hogbeat Radio. But the big news, the Razorbacks hosting another top 10 team for football this weekend. So the number 8 LSU Tigers coming to town. We're going to have a 6 p.m. kickoff. Razorback Stadium should be electric once again. So we'll see if the Razorbacks can knock off a second straight top 10 team at home. You know, last time out, you knock off Tennessee. You have the bye week. Hopefully Talen Green's healthy. We're going to talk about that. We got to get to some more health updates other than Talen Green. Going to talk some offensive line play. Going to get into LSU. We're going to analyze the Tigers, scout them a little bit. Then we got to talk some basketball. We had the tip-off tour, SEC Media Day. John Calipari went down there to Birmingham. So we have a lot to talk about, even some baseball. We're going to talk some baseball. They had exhibitions against Oklahoma State over the weekend. We were there to watch those as well. So a loaded episode, as always, of Hogbeat Radio, and it is powered by Hogbeat.com. That is Hawgbeat.com. We are the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. Check us out. Less than $100 a year for a subscription, less than $10 a month. You are going to get your money's worth, I promise. We do a lot of great premium content, but as always, a lot of great free content as well. You don't have to subscribe to help us out. You can just check out our free content. That helps as well. Check out our YouTube. Leave a thumbs up, leave a subscription. Please subscribe to the YouTube. That's free. You don't have to pay for that. It's literally free to do that. So that helps us as well. Just any way that you interact with our content is how you're going to help us. We appreciate it. That's what keeps us going each day, bringing you all that content. So thank you to everybody who supports us, and tell your friends if you're considering to do it or if you enjoy it. So hogbeat.com, H-A-W-B. Oh my gosh. See, I've messed up the spelling 2 weeks in a row. HAWGBEAT.com. All right, let's bring in the boys here. So we got Riley and we got Daniel. As always, we'll let Riley go first. I don't know why, because Daniel's older and wiser, and he's handsomer, which is kind of weird to say. But Riley, your thoughts on this game against LSU this weekend for the Razorbacks?
Man, I mean, how does it feel? We're sitting at the midway point of the year. I don't think any of us, maybe other than Daniel, I know Daniel had the Hogs pegged much, much more highly than we did before the year. But most of us, even the fans, didn't really think Arkansas would be sitting at 4-2 after, you know, the Tennessee game, heading into another top 10 matchup against LSU. You know, we kind of talked about this last week, or I did at least. This game kind of serves as a, you know, maybe a potential leaping off point, you know, a time to reestablish expectations, to, you know, change the narrative, so to speak, especially for Sam Pittman. I mean, you're coming off a bye week. Arkansas historically under Sam Pittman has done well after a bye week. You've got a game at home. I mean, the crowd should be electric. It was great last week against Tennessee. It should be as good, if not better. And yeah, I mean, you've got some health concerns, maybe not with Talen Green. It looks like probably not. Might be getting some guys back. You're facing LSU, who's coming off a roller coaster game against Ole Miss, a game that went to overtime, by the way. Things are looking good. The hype is unreal. And I expect it to be another close game. It's been a close game every time in the Pittman era. It should be again.
Yeah, no, I agree. I had us pegged, or had Arkansas, excuse me, pegged at 4-2 at this point in the year, heading into the first bye last weekend. I'm pretty sure I pegged them to lose to Tennessee and to beat Oklahoma State. So flip-flop those. The result is still the same. But, yeah, like you said, like it's a jumping-off point. It can be one of those wins if they pull it out that propels them into a much better situation than what we thought they were going to be in the preseason. Health is kind of a question for me as well. Pittman said yesterday it seems like everybody's back except for Braxton and possibly not Rodney Hill. I know we'll get into that later, but, you know, presumably Talen Green is healthy, and that's kind of exactly what you need. It's going to be a tight game. It's going to be a rowdy and raucous environment, and we'll see if they can pull out some magic again.
All right. So let's before we get into the details, more details of this game, everybody is curious about Talen Green, what's going on with him, QB1 for the Razorbacks. Daniel just hit on it. Availability report came out on Wednesday, no Talen Green. Now, I don't know the rules on, like, what if Talen Green shows up on it on Friday night, right? And I don't know how that works. I feel like if he wasn't on it on Wednesday, he's probably not going to be on it Thursday or Friday or Saturday. And so you would like to think that this is just a sign that Talen Green's going to play, that he wasn't on the availability report. Here's what Sam Pittman had to say about his quarterback on Wednesday, a little bit before, like a lot hours before the availability report came out.
I have been encouraged about how he's practiced. He's still not full speed yet, but we certainly think there's a possibility that he can get there. We'll have to wait and see there. You know, obviously we have two more practices and a walk, but I have been encouraged about his progression this week.
All right, there you go. Sam Pittman encouraged. Based off of the language that we've heard from Pittman this week and just Green not being on the availability report, Riley, I have to think that Talen's probably going to play against LSU.
Yeah, I expect him to play. You know, you never want to run out a backup quarterback against a team like LSU. But, I mean, even if he is healthy, even if he isn't on that availability report, I'll be curious to see, because his game is so predicated on using his legs to, you know, make plays, right? Like get time away from pass rushers. I mean, against Texas A&M and against Tennessee, he was limited in the run game because of those elite front sevens. But in other games, other competition, I don't know the exact numbers, but he's gotten over 50 rushing yards in almost every single game besides the last two. And so, you know, LSU without Harold Perkins Jr., which I think Arkansas fans are well aware of, they know what kind of pressure he can get. You know, they still have talented edge rushers and guys who can attack the quarterback, but Talen Green's health is still a big key to this game. If he, you know, if he can still run around, you know, make plays with his legs, things should be fine. Otherwise, it's going to be up to him to continue progressing. You know, he completed, I think, the highest percentage of passes he has all year against Tennessee. It was 70.7%, something like that. He has to continue, you know, making plays, making reads, progressing with the offense. If he can do that, he should be good against LSU. But still maybe something to watch as far as his legs go.
Yeah, I'm interested because, he's not on the availability report, so it sounds like he's going to be available, but how effective is he going to be? You know, is that knee still, or that you know, bone bruise still bothering him, that could affect, you know, his ability to run, which is, you know, like Riley said, a big part of his game. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, if he's 100% ready to go, then I think they'll be able to get into a groove really well. If he's a little limited in what he's able to do to escape pressure, you know, might be a little more rough going of it on the offensive end.
All right. So I feel like we've talked enough about Talen, especially like the last episode of this show. We talked a lot about Talen and the injury. So from what we know, he's not on the availability report, and Sam Pittman has been encouraged. So there you go. That's the update on Talen Green. Some more availability stuff, though. So we know that Jalen Braxton's out. That's tough. You got to start thinking about a red shirt in that situation. Rodney Hill listed as doubtful. It's a knee injury with him. It's also a knee injury with Braxton, for those who are curious. A lot of people ask that question. It is a knee injury with Braxton. So two new knee injuries there. I don't think Rodney Hill's going to play in this game. He's listed as doubtful, so there you go. Now, interesting that Patrick Kudus is going to be available for the game, according to Pittman on his radio show Wednesday. Miguel Mitchell, the transfer safety from Florida, he's going to be back as well. Don't forget, though, former starting kicker Kyle Ramsey not playing in this game. It is going to be Matthew Shipley starting at kicker. Ramsey wasn't even listed on the injury report, so that's kind of interesting.
That's a good point. I actually didn't even make that connection.
Yeah. So that's – I don't know if that means – maybe Ramsey's good, or maybe he's done for the season, or – I should probably
– No, whenever a player, at least as far as other reports go for other teams, if a player is out for the year, they're usually listed as out on the report too.
Okay, yeah. Well then I need to send a text like while we're recording this so I can get an answer before we're done. But While I do that, Riley, you can talk a little bit about just what these two teams look like at this point in the year. So Arkansas 4-2 on the year overall record, in case you forgot, 2-1 in SEC play, looking for your first 3-1 start in SEC play, I think since 2011 as well. Bobby Petrino, LSU 5-1, 2-0 in SEC play, obviously coming off the big win over Ole Miss. What do we know about these teams, Riley?
Well, I mean, first off, LSU on a, I believe now, another 5-1. Five-game win streak. They lost week one to USC. I think that was a neutral site game. They lost by a touchdown. But since then, they've beaten teams like Ole Miss, South Carolina. I think they beat UCLA. I think they beat them pretty easily, too. Also own wins over South Alabama, and I want to say Nichols. So, I mean, some good teams mixed in there. LSU, you know, under Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly, by the way, the winningest active head coach in college football. That's a fast fact for you. You know, they've got the studs, as usual, super talented. Arkansas, you know, we've seen it a couple times, right, against Texas A&M. I can't remember versus Tennessee, but, I mean, in some of these matchups, they've been fairly equal on paper, and you haven't been able to say that as often in previous years. You know, versus LSU, again, Arkansas's talented, especially on the offensive line. They've got some former four-stars there. You know, Taylen Green, I mean, I think he was a former two-star. Garrett Nussmeier was a four-star. But, you know, Taylen Green's been super, you know, productive this season. I think it's a pretty even matchup, about as even as you can get, even though LSU is a top-10 team. And, yes, they're, you know, coming off a five-game win streak. But really quick, I want to talk about the injuries while you're still doing your little texting thing. Whatever. Patrick Kudus, assuming he's back, I don't know. You know, he might be back. He's not listed on the report. You know, whatever. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be thrust into that starting position right away. I don't think he would be. That wouldn't make any sense to me. Your first game against LSU, that seems just like a lot to take on. But if he is back, you know, assuming he gets some snaps, I'm kind of curious to see how or if they might mix up the starting offensive line. There's been talk about, you know, would Keyshawn Blackstock maybe move to the interior? What about Amarion Harris? Would he move back to the outside? He's kind of a natural tackle. Some interesting things to watch. I don't think we'll see a lot of that against LSU. But, I mean, and this offensive line's played fairly okay. You might not want to mess things up at this point of the year.
He hit every nail on the head. I'm interested in Patrick Kudus to see how many snaps he gets, if he gets any snaps, because, you know, you don't really want to mess with the continuity of the offensive line. It feels like they've grown a little bit over the last few weeks. And so, but also before the season started, Patrick Kudus was considered a starter. Like he's got a lot of that talent. And so, you know, might be worth it to, you know, toss him in there a little bit, see what happens, but it'll be an interesting thing to monitor for sure.
You know, the offensive line performed decent against Tennessee, actually well against Tennessee, especially after the A&M game. And Sam Pittman, he was asked about that earlier in the week, and I thought he had an interesting answer. Kind of interesting, you know, thoughts on Keyshawn Blackstock, the right tackle. So listen in on Pittman from earlier in the week.
I was pleased that we got better. We still have a long way to go there, but we had willing participants up there. I thought Carmona played as good a game as he's played since he's been here. I thought Nichols did. So when those guys start, Bron's been really consistent. E. Harris has been consistent. You know, Keyshawn has been consistent or has been good at times. And then sometimes his technique has gone awry on him, which we're trying to get fixed, and he's willing to. I love him. He's going to be fine. But I think as a group, they all five of them had some of their better game, a little bit better game than what they had before, and that makes them together. We didn't have the blatant missed assignments as much as we had in the past.
All right. So Sam Pittman, like I said, a little bit of interesting comments there on Keyshawn Blackstock. So some numbers going into this game. LSU, 31st scoring offense in the country. They're averaging 34.2 points per game. Now their passing offense is ranked 6th in the country, 337 yards per game through the air. Defensively, Arkansas 69th in pass defense, 215 yards through the air allowed per game. But Arkansas, you know, 8th in the country in total yardage, almost 500 yards per game, 484 per game, and then still eighth in the country in third downs on offense. LSU 24th, though. So this is an LSU team that's only allowed two sacks all year long. They're good for four, tied for fourth in the country with that. But defensively, you go down the list, and Arkansas is better in really every defensive category aside from sacks, which LSU tied for fourth in the country in sacks per game. So that's something to watch with this offensive line that we just talked about. But LSU also has forced one more turnover on the year. So all that to say, like Riley kind of mentioned earlier, it seems like an even matchup, you know, at least on paper a little bit. I was surprised, guys, and I want to get y'all's thoughts on this because you might have a different perspective than I do. The game opened up early line on Bet Saracen. I think it was like 9.5 almost, something like that. And then it was down to 6.5 at one point. And then we saw LSU go and beat Ole Miss. And then the line is down to 2.5 the next day. Arkansas, a 2.5-point underdog in this. So I didn't really understand how it's like it was like 6.5 before LSU beats Ole Miss. Then LSU knocks off a top 10 team. And now Arkansas's got more points. How does that make sense? It didn't make sense to me. You guys might have a better understanding.
It literally does not make sense. I mean, on paper, going from 6.5 before you beat a top, Ole Miss was top 10. Yeah, I think they were a top 10 team, to then a 2.5-point favorite after that doesn't make sense. But what I will say, I mean, I like the line at 2.5. You know, I think if, you know, for maybe some fans, they might prefer 3.5 just because the, you know, it's been Arkansas has usually lost or won by 3, I think, every single time in the Pittman era. So you like that three point deficit right there. But yeah, no, that line doesn't make sense. And 6.5, I mean, that is kind of a big line anyway, just because, I mean, like I said before, every single game has come down to 3 points within the last few years. So maybe, you know, my guess, I'm not an expert on betting markets or anything, but that might just be a readjustment to how the rest of the market is looking at this game. Maybe 6.5 was just a little too rich out the gates, and they readjusted it after, you know, seeing how the rest of the world was viewing this game. But I don't know. I'm not an expert on betting, so I'm not going to have a super expert opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is like LSU hasn't been able to run the ball a whole lot. Like, they're down their starting running back. Garrett Nussmeier threw 51 times in that game against Ole Miss. So I mean, maybe the bettors are seeing something, you know, seeing something there for Arkansas. You know, their pass defense was, you know, able to lock down Nico Iamaliava. I had to think about how to pronounce his name.
You got it.
They were able to lock him down a couple weeks ago. So I mean, maybe the bettors just think that Arkansas's defense kind of has a leg up on what LSU is going to be able to do, but. Man, I don't know. The lines are always so weird for me. So I'll just plead ignorance on that one.
Yeah. Riley, did you mention this stat that under Brian Kelly, LSU 7-3 in one score games?
I did not mention that. No. So that's a pretty, I mean, I wonder how many of those games are the Arkansas games, because every single one for Brian Kelly. Two? Oh, okay.
Two. Well, I guess they're 2-0 in those games. LSU won in 22 and 23. So yeah.
So Arkansas is going to have to defy history. I mean, not a lot of history, but recent history at least.
Well, so Arkansas has won 3 straight following a bye, so undefeated under Sam Pittman off of a bye. Was there not a bye week in the 2022 in the 2020 season? I guess I don't, because that they should have.
Off the top of my head, I can't remember.
Well, no, because it's not listed from 2020. Because Mississippi State 21, Auburn 22, and Florida 23.
What I will say just real quick about the bye week thing, they are undefeated after the bye week. However, this is kind of a weird, like, sicko stat, but this is homecoming for the Razorbacks this weekend. And under Pittman, Arkansas is 1-3 in homecoming contests. They lost to Ole Miss in 2020, lost to Auburn 2021, Liberty in 2022. And we all remember the Mississippi State game last year, 7-3. So just something to keep in mind.
You say we all remember as if that was like a very memorable 7-3 game between. Well,
I think
Arkansas
it was. I mean, I feel like most people would remember that just because of how terrible it was.
Memorably bad, but like I couldn't tell you much from that game. Yeah, the homecoming thing's interesting. So this is, let's see, if they win, it would be their second, earn their second victory against a top 10 team this season and secure multiple top 10 wins in a season since for the first time since 1965. Wow. And only the third time in program history. The only time they did it before that was the year before in 64 when they won the Natty. So LSU, 19 sacks in its last four games. That is scary to think about if you're Arkansas. They had six against Ole Miss, five against South Carolina, five against UCLA. So we talked about the sacks. This is going to be a tough challenge for the Arkansas offensive line. Now, I do think that it's good that the tight end room is healthy. And Daniel, you were texting us about that on Wednesday night when Sam Pittman was talking on his radio show. Mm-hmm. Do we think that this is maybe finally the Luke has breakout game because of what he did against LSU last year? I mean, even Brian Kelly mentioned Luke has by name this week, and I think it's because he remembers what Has did to him last year, two touchdowns. That was his coming out party. Daniel, do you think he can do that again this year?
I like to think yes. The breakout game is going to come at some point. Like, we know it's going to happen eventually. We hope it's going to happen eventually. He did get a couple did get some run in against Tennessee, and he had one, was it a third down conversion? I don't know. It was a big play. And so you like to think that this can be that game that he finally breaks out. But yeah, Pittman said yesterday all of his tight ends are healthy. He said going into Tennessee, I didn't know if I was going to have any tight ends, and now I've got them all. So I'm not willing to put money on a Luke has breakout game yet, but wouldn't shock me if it was against LSU for sure.
Okay. Riley, do you have any thoughts on the Luke has breakout game? I feel like it's just not going to happen at this point. Like, I don't know, man. It's just not going to happen because it's not the same offense and he's not featured the same way that maybe we saw with him as a breakout guy last year. I don't know.
So I'm starting to feel a bit of a hater narrative come from two people in this show towards Luke has. I don't know if that's going to be a trend the rest of the way. We'll find out. But
I hope not for just for the fact that the last person that we quote unquote hated on, it was, I mean, like, fair because they haven't performed well. And just, you know, selfishly, I would like to see Luke has perform well because he's really talented. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. So a preview, a very quick preview later on, you'll find out from me when we get to the Bet Saracen portion that this is the Luke has breakout game, at least in one regard. But no, I mean, he's kind of dealt with some back issues. We've known about that. You know, we've seen him a couple times. He would maybe catch a ball or something and then hold his back running off the sideline. So he hasn't been fully healthy even when he's been able to play. And so I think this bye week, you know, and even Pittman mentioned it, like, even for guys that we know are, you know, healthy and can play, they still have dings and bruises, but they've been able to get fully healed up. One of those guys is Luke Hass. So you've got to think another week to rest and prepare. He had a big breakout game against LSU last year. He's at home. I mean, you've got to have a breakout game eventually. This LSU game is as good as any other chance. So, you know, we'll see.
I'm looking on Bet Saracen right now, and I think we can just go ahead and transition to our picks while we're at it. The line is down to 2. So Arkansas, a 2-point underdog in this game on Bet Saracen. The line continues to go down. Bet Saracen, the official mobile sports gambling app for the Saracen Casino Resort. You can check it out today anywhere, but you can only place your bets in the state of Arkansas. And that's what makes it so special because you get these double R props. You also get some game specials, and then you get the player props as well. You cannot get the player props or the specials in every other state. This is really just an only in Arkansas thing. So Bet Saracen, download them today. We appreciate their partnership. We've been with them since they opened up. So check them out and check out these props. Please gamble responsibly, though. Let's get to our picks for the week. Our picks for the week brought to you by Bet Saracen. Riley, I know that you were super excited about your picks, so we're going to let Daniel go first with his picks for the week. Daniel, are you ready with your picks? And then I'll go, and then Riley can go.
I am. I wanted to go with the Luke has try to steal Riley's thunder there, but I'm not going to because I'm a kind person. And also because I'm a big fan of JaQuindon Jackson and Braylon Russell in this game. LSU's rush defense is not good, according to the NCAA. They are ranked 53rd in rushing defense. The one that I'm seeing is JaQuindon Jackson and Braylon Russell over 24.5 combined carries. I feel like they're going to feature both of those guys a lot. Braylon Russell really solidified himself as being one of those dudes against Tennessee, especially on that last drive. So I like both him and JaQuindon Jackson directly underneath that. That's plus 115 odds. Directly underneath that one is JaQuindon Jackson and over 16.5 carries and over 94.5 rushing yards. It just feels like this is going to be one of those games that they feature JaQuindon Jackson a lot. And I think he's going to he'll break a few tackles and get some longer runs. And I think he's going to get over that 94.5 rushing yard limit. That's plus 180.
Okay. I'm going with, let's see. So my first one, I'm going to take JaQuindon Jackson and Taylen Green over 1.5 rushing touchdowns.
So stupid, man.
I really
that was
think
my
that...
pick. That was my like, man. I haven't done a double R prop on this show in weeks, and I'm seeing this one. I'm like, oh my goodness, man, that is great. And you take it from me, crazy.
So the odds on that plus 240. I'm not gonna apologize for picking a winner. So that look, JaQuindon Taylen could not play in this game, but JaQuindon could probably get that on his own. So. That's what I'm looking at. I like that one. Now, I do want to pick one that is not a double R prop, and I was scrolling through looking at some of the odds, and I'm interested in Michigan at Illinois. It feels like that time of the year that Brett Bielema and his team is going to start to go downhill, and I feel like Michigan is trending in the right direction, although they did lose to Washington, which was tough. Maybe I don't want to pick Michigan. Maybe I'm gonna look at some other picks. Riley, I will let you go ahead while I look for my second pick. I'm gonna give you the honor of going ahead.
Okay, so full disclaimer, I was going to rock with JaQuindon Jackson, Taylen Green over 1.5 combined rushing touchdowns because that's a great pick in my opinion. But anyway, like I said earlier, like I alluded to earlier, I think Luke has. It's time, man. It's time. I mean, big game. He's played in big games. He's done it before. He's healthy. I think this, you know, Taylen Green is going to have to find another security blanket type guy besides Andrew Armstrong. Now's as good a time as any. You can get him at plus 500. The odds actually went up for an anytime touchdown. I like it. I think you should rock with Lucas this week. And then as far as my, you know, outside of Arkansas football pick, I don't really like a whole lot of things this week. I don't know. It's just a lot of games that can go either way, in my opinion. However, tomorrow, Duke hosts Florida State, a Florida State team that has looked pretty rough this year. Duke, I want to say, is undefeated. Oh, man. I want to say they might be 5-0 right now. Let me confirm that real quick. I know they're having a very historical season. Duke is 5-1. Either way, they're playing pretty well right now. They're a -3 home favorite. I like them to cover that at -105 odds. So, those are my picks for the week.
All right. I'm going to add, and I hate this. I hate that I'm doing this. I'm adding Rice plus 21.5 at Tulane. Very, very random, but here's why. First of all, I've always heard never bet on food, but I'm betting on food. Rice plus 21.5 against Tulane because my guy, Giovanni Johnson McCray, former Conway Wabascat QB, I talked with him this morning. He's done for the year, unfortunately. I hate it for him. He's dealt with injuries a lot. So, in honor of Giovanni, I'm going to pick Rice, plus 21.5. Now, Tulane, though, we must mention they do have wide receiver Bryce Bohannon, also a former Conway Wabascat. So, we got Wabascat versus Wabascat in this one. We'll see how that one turns out. Let's give out some picks for big games this weekend. So, Riley, you mentioned some games that are just like disgusting to pick because you don't know where to go. The first one of those, Alabama and Tennessee. So the Crimson Tide playing at the Vols. Last time they played this one, Tennessee knocked off Bama. Or last time they played this one at Neyland, Tennessee knocks off Bama. They take the goalpost and throw them in the river. Do we think that Tennessee can knock off Bama again? Riley.
this is the exact kind of game I want to avoid, because whenever I make bets, I try to think, you know, you obviously think about the teams, but you also think about storylines. That's how I like to think about it. Like, what would make a good story one way or the other? And the problem with both these teams is they both have great storylines, so it's hard to decide. But if I had to pick Tennessee, a home underdog, Alabama, I mean, they probably should have lost to South Carolina last week. If South Carolina's quarterback was maybe a little bit more experienced, they win that game. I'm going to take Tennessee, man. And Arkansas, I think, I want to say Tennessee might be a plus 125-ish home underdog. I like them to win. I like Nico to, maybe that offense to finally open up a little bit. And Arkansas's win over the Volunteers will look that much better.
Okay, Daniel.
I'm rolling with Riley there. I think Tennessee wins in this one. Listen, Alabama has not looked good at most points this season. Like, recency bias maybe, but like the last 2 weeks have just been very rough for them. They're going into a rivalry game. It's going to be a massive environment. I just don't think they can pull it out. I think Tennessee wins that one. And I think bold prediction, I think Tennessee might win that one by two scores.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to save the graphic, and I will just go ahead and take Bama in this one. So give me the Crimson Tide to knock off the Vols. Next game, BYU hosting Oklahoma State.
Oof.
How about this one?
BYU by a country mile. I don't know what has happened to Oklahoma State. Arkansas should have won that game. Like, if we're being honest, Oklahoma State's been very, very unremarkable since then. They might even be, I don't know what the record is. The last time I checked, they were 3-3. They might be under 500 now. Well, either way, they're going to be under 500 after this game. BYU. Hey, man, BYU last year, you want to talk about a program that's turned things around, kind of like Arkansas. Kalani Sitake over there, he's made a big jump. BYU's looking really good, top 15 team at home against Oklahoma State. I like the Cougars.
Do they cover -9.5, though?
Yes.
All right. Daniel, yeah.
I almost mentioned this one in my picks earlier. BYU is one of those teams, I don't know what it is, when they play like after 9 o'clock, just seems like they roll. And Oklahoma State has lost their last two games by three scores in each game. They got blown up by Kansas State, blown up by West Virginia. They're reeling. I don't think they get anywhere close to 10 points. I think BYU rolls that one.
That's a great point about BYU after 9 o'clock. That is a great point. I might have to hammer them in that one. All right, two more games here. So Missouri hosting Auburn, the Tigers of Missouri, the two Tiger teams in this one. Missouri favored by 3.5 in this one after getting the freaking doors blown off by A&M last time out.
So, oh man, this one's really tough. That one's really tough. I am not a big Missouri guy. Never have been. I'm going to be different. People are going to probably disagree with me here. Give me Auburn. Give me Hugh Freeze. They finally, you know, they're reeling too. Like, they need to win big time. I think they go on the road and they get a big victory that no one is expecting.
That's a tough. I wanted to agree with you. I also don't want to agree with you because, just watching the way that Missouri got pieced last weekend just dashed any hope of like confidence I had in them moving forward. But also Auburn is just not great. They don't have a quarterback. They thought they had two quarterbacks. Turns out that they have none. Give me Missouri. I think they win.
Yeah. As much as I want to pick Auburn, I think I got to go Missouri in this one. I'll take the Fighting Eli Drinkwitzes to bounce back in this one. All right, last game to pick. It is where College Game Day will be. It is the big game of the week. Texas hosting Georgia. The Longhorns favored by 5 points on Bet Saracen. Riley McFerrin, your pick.
Give me Texas. You know, I mean,
you picked the favorite. Really bold there, huh?
Hey, man, I went with Auburn last game. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the favorite this time, Texas. You know, George, it's tough, man. This game can go either way. Both teams are uber talented, have good or great head coaches, but give me Texas at home. That's the difference to me.
Mm.
Yeah, I bet against Texas last week saying that Oklahoma would cover, and they proved me wrong pretty bad. Give me the Longhorns.
All right, well.
Okay, but hold on. Give me the Longhorns – but I don't think they cover. So, I mean, just give me a Longhorns money line.
Okay.
I'm also looking at it from the perspective of if you want Arkansas to have game day at some point this year, then you need Arkansas and Texas to win out, and then they face each other in November, and that'd probably be game day. So I'm kind of sticking a little bit to maybe that narrative a little bit.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Riley. Thanks for picking Texas so that game day will be here in November.
You're welcome.
I'm going with Georgia in this one for two reasons. One, because it just goes with the narrative of this season and the way that this season has played out so far. What is really the only team left standing that everybody's looking at? Like, that's because you think about the past few years, it's you've had your Georgias, you've had your Alabamas, you've had your Michigans, Ohio States, like the teams that everybody just assumes is probably going to win it all. That is Texas right now because everybody else has lost. Georgia's going to knock them off, and then it's going to be full 2007. That's what everybody's been comparing this year to. Is the 2007
I was about to say the exact same thing.
It's this when Georgia knocks off Texas this weekend, it will be full 2007, and it will also open up the door for Navy and Army to both get in the playoff. Mm. We need both of those teams in the playoff. But also, I'm doing it just because last time I picked Georgia, they were that close. They were that close, and I really need the Bulldogs to get that revenge for me so that Riley will shut his mouth about picking Alabama and being so confident and not mentioning the fact that he was really scared when Georgia came back in that game and almost won it. So, all right, those are our Bet Saracen picks for the week. Thank you, Bet Saracen. Download Bet Saracen. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-GAMBLER if you have a problem. All right. Anything else for Arkansas LSU before we transition sports, boys? There's probably quite a bit of stuff that we have not hit yet. Anything off the top?
There probably is, but nothing that I can immediately think of that is of utmost importance.
Team captains, Daniel, you got those?
Yeah. Well, I don't have them in front of me. Landon Jackson, LSU transfer. Ashton No, long snapper. Shout out Andover, Kansas native. Larry Worth. He came along pretty well last week. Andreas Poski.
Okay.
Tight end who is one of the tight ends who is back. I don't think we mentioned Poski. Pittman said his family is flying in from Denmark to watch the game this weekend. So that's pretty exciting for him.
All right. One other thing. So we'll have a full visitor list up on hogbeat.com for recruits visiting. The big name that you want to know, Carius Kern, the four-star offensive lineman out of Marion who is committed to LSU, was formerly committed to Arkansas. He will be there, according to On3. We have not independently confirmed this ourselves yet, but I do think it is a notable thing that should be mentioned. Now, Daniel, you were the football recruiting guy for a while. You kind of understand this stuff maybe more than Riley or I do. With Carius Kern visiting Arkansas this weekend for the LSU game, how much of that is LSU's plan and how much of it is like he's going there to visit Arkansas? I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know that I've seen that a whole lot in the last few years, but it's notable. I mean, it's very possible that the coaching staff sold him on, well, hey, LSU's coming here, you might as well come up and watch the game with us, you know? And hopefully, you know, he can be mesmerized by a sold out crowd, but it's interesting. It's not, there's a long way to go between now and December. If they want to flip him, they've got to have a lot of stuff go right. I would imagine a lot more wins would probably have to get piled on, including this weekend. If they're hoping to flip him, you know, he's a Marion native. Anthony Switzer is also a Marion native, so you know there's
Anthony
a little
Switzer,
bit of that.
By the way, visited Carius Kern for his last football game, I believe.
That's right. That did happen. So there's a little bit more hometown flavor for him, you know, having somebody from his city up there as well. But it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to him after the visit.
All right, let's transition to basketball, guys. They had the tip-off tour over the weekend in Hot Springs and in Pine Bluff. And then on Tuesday, John Calipari Adu Thiero and John L. Davis went down to Birmingham, Alabama for the SEC Media Day. All right, so the first thing up for this team now is the exhibition against Kansas. So the preseason AP Top 25 came out. Kansas is number one. So Arkansas is going to be hosting number one Kansas Friday, October 25th, 8 p.m. tip. Don't know who decided that we're going to tip off this game at 8 o'clock local time. Like, what are we doing tipping this game off?
The night before an 11:45 a.m. kickoff against Mississippi State, man. It's tough. Yeah.
So that's what we have to deal with now. Breaking news, guys. Are you ready for this? This is breaking news. I'm sure neither one of you have seen this yet. They're bringing back Camp Bud for this game. So where all the students camp out with their tents and everything outside of Bud Walton Arena, they're bringing this back for the game against Kansas. Registration is open right now. I think you can just go to Arkansas or uark.edu or whatever you want to do. Just look it up. Looks like registration is going to close October 22nd at 5 p.m. So that'll be cool to see. We'll see. I mean, it's interesting because, like, it's still football season, but there's not going to be a home football game that weekend. So we'll see how that goes. But that's exciting. Arkansas ranked 16th preseason, Daniel.
Yep.
I mean, I guess that seems about right. You know, they're a really talented team, but it does seem like every time Calipari talks, and he does repeat himself a lot, but it does seem like he has thrown out a lot that maybe temper expectations, like don't expect us to be really freaking good right at the start of this season.
Yeah, I had kind of guessed somewhere between the 13 and 17 or 18 range. So I feel like 16 fits pretty well just as a preseason barometer. I like a lot of the pieces that they added, guys like John L. Davis, Jonas Adu. We've you know, kind of gone in depth with a lot of the guys, but it's a good starting point. There's still a lot of questions for me, just how well are they going to be able to gel on the court? And so that, yeah, no, 16 feels pretty fair for me.
And we did learn some news on injuries from Calipari, which is notable because he has said a couple times that they're banged up as well. One of them, Adu Thiero, the transfer from Kentucky, who, Daniel, you did have him projected in the starting lineup, correct?
I did. I had two of the guys that I had projected as starters are kind of dealing with some injuries. I had at Adu Thiero, and I had John L. Davis, who's at the tip-off tour last weekend. He was wearing a long sleeve shirt, but you can see the imprint of some kind of a brace underneath it. So Cal said it was all precautionary. So, and I don't have anything else telling me it's not at the moment. So I'm gonna just opt to believe him on that one. But yeah, they are kind of banged up heading into this Kansas exhibition. He said at SEC Media Day he's not gonna push somebody just to play in an exhibition game. So it'll be interesting to see who he rolls out there. But dealing with a little bumps and bruises before the season starts.
Yeah. By the way, it's Adu Thiero. I'm looking at his bio right now. It's the pronunciation guide is Thiero, and it says in parentheses like hero. So
that's interesting. I kind of don't want to believe that, but I guess I'll just have to accept it.
Yeah. It's like Jared Wagner and Jared Wagner. It's spelled Wagner, but it's pronounced Wagner.
They'll be a Jack Wagner the next year. Yeah, to make it even more confusing.
Very quickly, want to mention Arkansas was picked to finish fourth in the SEC preseason, and two Hogs were named All SEC. That was John L. Davis and Jonas Adu, who were both named second team. I'm kind of curious. I know, like, there's no telling how this is going to shake out, but do you think the fourth place predicted finish is right? Higher, lower? What do you guys think?
The optimist in me wants to say yes. I feel like fourth is really good, or is accurate, but again, there's just so many question marks for me on this team. I mean, I know they're really high on Carter Knox. He's still a freshman. John L. Davis is electric with the ball in his hands. He's making a big jump in competition level from the AAC to the SEC. So, I mean, there's still some question marks. I feel like best case scenario is probably, fourth. Personally, I would say maybe fifth or sixth in the SEC by the time it's all said and done. We'll just it's a preseason poll, but we'll have to see what happens. But yeah, I don't hate that fourth place finish for sure.
And you know, fifth and sixth, that's still really good because the SEC mm-hmm. is loaded this year. It's not like fifth or sixth would be bad or be on the bubble. Like Arkansas would still be a pretty secure NCAA tournament team. So I think I tend to agree with you.
You got Cal talking at SEC Media Day, and we actually have a story coming out about this from Daniel on hogmeat.com. Like the SEC is loaded, and a lot of these coaches are just expecting the league to get 9 or 10 teams in. That's kind of crazy, you know, for a 16 team league, but the SEC is a powerhouse in basketball now. I do have this soundbite from Cal that I want to play for about Thero, though. Adu, the junior transfer from Kentucky, 6'8", 220, based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Daniel, seems like this is a guy who can really help him this year. And here's what Cal had to say about him this week. Some good stuff from Cal on Tuesday.
He's growing into his father, which would lead me to tell you, I have four players on this team that I've coached their fathers. Now, you can say that I'm an old fart, or you can look at it and say, wow, that all of those fathers say I'm not as hard as I used to be, but they still wanted their son to play for me, Adu being one. Adu wanted to play for me when he was in ninth grade. He was 5'11". And I'm like, looked at his dad. I said, dad was 6'9". And now all of a sudden he's grown into his dad. And you see him now and you're like, wow. But it took him time. He was a three-star player coming out of high school. And grew, and now he's growing into his game. He's been a little beat up here the last week and a half, 2 weeks, hoping he'll be able to go against Kansas, but I'm not sure. If there's any question, I'll hold him out. But no, he's done better. The biggest thing, he's got to shoot the ball better. The game has become skill is king, but he's shooting it better. He's physical. He drives it. He can play multiple positions. Really happy for him and happy he wanted to play for us.
All right.
Yep.
He's on Cal Perry.
Yeah, I mean that's been one thing that Theros kind of said over the summer was one of the things that he focused on the most. But Cal's talking about being able to shoot better. He did say he talked to 103.7 The Buzz, I believe it's who he talked to, and said that his outside shot is something that he's put a really big focus on over the offseason, just developing that part of his game. We know he's a strong defender. He averages 1.1 blocks per game. He's a great rebounder. But, yeah, the offensive side of the ball, he averaged 7.2 points last year. Doesn't jump off the page at you. But if he can, you know, if he can increase his threat level from outside, he's definitely one of those pieces that they're going to need down the stretch.
So Riley hit on the fact that they had two guys preseason all SEC second team in Jonas Adu and Jonnell Davis. Daniel, I want to ask you, who do you think from the rest of the bunch has the best shot to end the season preseason or in the season all SEC? Because I feel like you could make the case for basically any other guy on scholarship, really.
Yeah, I think right now I'd probably give that to DJ Wagner, point guard transferred in from Kentucky. Dealt with injuries last year. Cal said a couple weeks ago he's as healthy as and athletic as ever. I feel like he's in for a really big year, and I think he's going to shock a lot of people. He'd be one that I would guess. That I really want to say Trevin Brazil has a chance. He's kind of transitioned to kind of being more of a rim runner, being able to, you know, bang around down low, and so. He's got the talent. We've seen it all. We've seen the athleticism. It's just been the consistency for him. And I've got a profile up on Hogbeat about Brazil, but he's another one that I would guess could find their way onto the all SEC team by the end of the season. So yeah, DJ Wagner, Trevin Brazil would be the first two that I think of.
All right, we're going to have some more profiles, like Daniel mentioned, on hogbeat.com before the season starts. So check it out, hawgbeat.com. the Rivals website covering the Razorbacks. A lot of good stuff. Those profiles are premium because he's putting a lot of work into it, really previewing, getting into the just the analytical stuff, watching the film, breaking down these players. Now, last thing on this basketball team and some of these players and looking ahead to maybe some of these profiles you're going to do, Daniel. Of these freshmen, you got three like highly touted freshmen, and it seems like we heard a lot about Carter Knox. You wrote a story about him. Of those, which one do you think has the best shot? You got Boogie Flynn, Carter Knox, and Billy Richmond, your three big-time freshmen you got in here.
I wrote about Carter Knox. Yeah, like you said, came out this morning. I think I want to say Boogie Flynn on this one. He's a five-star. He's one of the top players in the country. He's come along really well. He's got a really, really smooth shot. Sources had told us a couple weeks ago that him and Knox both were shooting from a really high clip from outside. But he's smooth with the ball. He's able to break down defenders. I think he's a strong pick as far as being on the all freshman team by the end of the season.
All right, Riley, you got anything else to add on basketball before we transition to baseball? I'm excited to talk about baseball.
I really don't. I've been in football mode so far. I haven't really delved deep into the basketball team. I do agree though with the Boogie Flynn pick. I like Carter Knox, but Boogie Flynn, from everything I've seen, and they've posted clips of him on Twitter. I think he's a confident dude, and I think he'll be really good.
Okay.
Yeah. Real quick, if you guys subscribe to Hogs Plus, there's a really good old 6-minute video of him mic'd up in practice. I enjoyed watching that.
Okay. No free ads, Daniel. No free ads on this show. Let's talk about this baseball team though. So they held their exhibition games against Oklahoma State over the weekend. I was there on Friday. Riley was there on Saturday. I believe that was like the official end of their fall season. So they should be done with that. Time to make some roster cuts for DVH and company. But on Friday, so they did a full 9-inning game. They did play the bottom of the ninth, despite Arkansas being up 8-1, which was the final score. Hogs win 8-1 over Oklahoma State. And the big thing, guys, this pitching staff. So they had seven pitchers combined to give up just two hits, one run. It was an unearned run. They struck out. How many did they strike out on this one? 18, I think. And they had one walk. That's pretty freaking good.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I wasn't able to go to this game, but I looked at the stat sheet after. Gabe Gackle had three strikeouts in this one inning of work. I mean, that's your dude. That's your dude, right? Like your Friday night guy. Oh, and he was a freshman last year, by the way. So he's made a big jump. Zach Rue and Landon Beidelschies, right? We've got that figured out now.
I think is what we're saying.
Beidelschies. Okay,
I think maybe it's Beidelschies. Maybe
it's one of those two. We will figure it out. Your two transfers looked studly, like Beidelschies, two strikeouts, and he was pumping high heat too. It was like 97 at one point, right?
He throws much harder than I thought he would. He in his arsenal, he was kind of throwing the kitchen sink, which I think was by design. He was trying to let him see everything, and he looked better than I thought he was going to be when he came in here.
I wonder, because Gage Wood has been in the – and he pitched great too. He had four Ks and one walk. He's been in that conversation for a starting role. If Landon isn't – doesn't end up being a starter, could he be that Hagen Smith – I'm not comparing him to Hagen Smith, but a lefty with, a lot of different, nasty pitches. Can he be that kind of guy out of the bullpen? You got Cole Gibbler, a freshman, one of the top prospects that Arkansas was able to land. He had two Ks. He's looked great all fall. Carson Wiggins touched 101. Jackson Wiggins, he hit over 100. Did he ever hit 101? I don't know about that. Maybe he did. But Carson, from all accounts, has looked maybe even ahead of Jackson at this point of his career. And then Christian Fouch, we all know what he can do. He came in and closed it out. He's got high heat, two strikeouts. Just to repeat what you said, this even after Hagen Smith and Brady Tiger are gone, this pitching staff has just reloaded.
You mentioned Carson Wiggins hitting 101. The only other guy that I know of since I've covered the team, which is beginning in 2019, that has hit 101 since then, Christian Fouch, who pitched right after Carson Wiggins. So, and Fouch was kind of taking some stuff off of it too. So, And that's what they did on the mound. But even at the plate, they had 13 hits, scored 8 runs, and none of that was via a home run. They didn't have any home runs in this. They were just manufacturing runs. They were doing exactly what fans have asked them to do. And we've kind of talked about it a little bit, but they recruited a little bit of a different player, and you're starting to see them, you know, just work their way around the base paths. But also you just have guys who are putting the ball in play, whether it be a home run or whether it just be like, let me get the ball in play. And I like what I'm seeing from everybody. Bahava Loy hit the ball really well. Brent Iredale, he went 4 for 4 in this one. We talked to him after, and he does have an Australian accent. It is real. And so that was fun to get to talk with him. But Reese Robinette, 2 hits in this one. Nolan Souza, 2 hits. You know, really a good game all around. Justin Thomas Jr., the JUCO transfer, he had a triple in this one. So a lot of good stuff to see. Riley, you were there on Saturday. I think they played 2 5-inning scrimmages. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, so game one, 5 innings, like Mason said. Oklahoma State won that one 6-3. Kind of a weird game for the pitching staff. You know, coming off that Friday game, I had heard everything you can hear. This pitching staff is the best in the world. And then they come in, and, you know, they're not pitching the same guys, obviously. Ben Bibee, Will McIntyre, Tate McGuire, and Dylan Carter pitching this game. They gave up a few home runs, a few 2-run home runs. Ben Bibee, you know, he came out, started the game, had 2 Ks, gave up a home run. Will McIntyre, who, it's funny, Ben Bibee has kind of been compared to Will McIntyre a little bit, just in terms of, you know, you watch them on the mound, they look similar. Will McIntyre came in, got a strikeout, gave up a 2-run home run. Tate McGuire, is Tate McGuire a freshman? I can't remember if he's a freshman. He's a younger guy.
No, he's not.
Okay, I didn't think so. Tate McGuire, younger guy, he came in, 2-run home run. Jason Jones in this game, former Razorback transfer, he had a big one. He went 2 of 2. One of those was a bomb. He destroyed it to left field. What did we say before the series? Jason Jones was gonna get one on the bat, and he did that.
If Bet Saracen would have just offered one prop for the whole weekend, Jason Jones to hit a home run and any just on the weekend, I mean, I would have bet every dollar I have on that.
Jason Jones also played at third base in the first game. He did kind of mess up a play. He wasn't hit with an error, but I thought maybe in the real season he could have been. But, I mean, he still looked good. As a whole, pitching staff, you know, you're not pitching your top guys, but you're pitching dudes who you might end up needing at some point. I thought, you know, they looked fine. Ben Bibee, Will McIntyre, Tate McGuire, Dylan Carter. I don't know how much. You know, a guy like Ben Bibee, what kind of a role is he going to have? This pitching staff, it's so loaded. Same with Will McIntyre. Is he a sixth-year super senior at this point? Former predicted Golden Spikes Award winner by Mason Choate here. I don't know
We're still alive.
I'm not super sure if that's going to happen. But offensively, Logan Maxwell in the first game went 2 for 2. I think we've kind of been waiting to see some of that from Logan Maxwell. He also hit a home run today. So that was interesting. Justin Thomas, the JUCO transfer outfielder, I learned that, you know, he's kind of one of those guys, people are kind of questioning him, but then right when you start questioning him, he makes a big hit, and he did that again. He got one. He also hit a triple on Friday night. And then besides that, in that first game, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. In the second game, Arkansas won 7-1. Looked like their dominant self, changed the entire lineup. I don't think a single projected starter is in that lineup. I will say, interestingly, Cam Kojal, the Vanderbilt transfer, you know, everyone had high expectations for him. It looks like he's behind Nolan Souza a little bit. He played in this game, went 0-2, had a strikeout, did have a walk, though. Carson Bowles had a hit. He was the Division II batting average leader, so that's cool to see. Gabe Frazier had a hit. Ty Holland, the freshman, came in and hit a bomb. I don't remember what inning it happened, but I believe it was a 3-run home run. So that was cool to see. There's not a lot to take away from the pitching staff because, you know, you're throwing guys like Steele Eaves, great name, by the way, Tag Andrews, Luke Williams, and Lance Davis. Those are guys that you probably won't see a whole lot this year. Parker Coyle, though, in his one inning of work, looked pretty good. Had, you know, a one-hit inning, no strikeouts, though, no walks. As a whole, on the day, it wasn't super exciting. You didn't see any fireworks like you did Friday night, but I mean, it was good. This baseball team is really good. They've reloaded. Oklahoma State's going to be a solid team, and they took 2 out of 3 from them. So as a whole, I mean, Arkansas should should be right back in that Omaha conversation.
All right, Riley, getting your hopes up early, folks. He is getting you guys excited. Look, he's guaranteeing a national championship. Basically,
DVH has talked multiple times about how he likes this offense, and people have complained all offseason about Nate Thompson this, Nate Thompson that. They're hitting too many home runs, whatever. They won the first game without hitting a single home run. They've got some dudes who can mix it up on the base paths. I'm just saying, this pitching staff looks pretty dandy in the preseason. So, it's a long way to go.
This coming from the same guy who was comparing Malachi Singleton to Malik Hornsby just a week ago on this show.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, what are we doing? But, all right, Riley, thanks for that breakdown, man. Let's wrap the show up here, though. We will do a little bit of banter because the Chiefs play the 49ers this weekend. But
you took away my segue.
Before we get into that BS that nobody wants to hear about, we should mention 6 p.m. kickoff. Arkansas, LSU is going to be on ESPN at Razorback Stadium on Saturday. They're calling for a red out, so we'll see how that goes at Razorback Stadium. Riley's got one more thing.
I had one thing to mention about this LSU football game. At halftime, there will apparently be a drone show.
Ah, yes. That's exciting. And we've talked about the in-game experience, how it needed to be improved. I thought that against Tennessee, I mentioned it was really great. The drone show is a great addition. We were at Ole Miss last year, and they did the drone show, and it was awesome. And so I think that we'll see how it goes. It is at halftime. I want to say Ole Miss did it during like a timeout, like a TV timeout or something. So doing it at halftime, kind of tough to like get people super excited about that, but we'll see. All right. Chiefs 49ers this weekend. I don't know what to say other than like, how are the Chiefs not favored in this game? It makes no sense how the 49ers are favored. It does not make any sense at all.
So I feel like every single time they've played, the 49ers have been favored, and it just seems like nobody learns. And I at this point, I just think the betting markets are doing it on purpose. Like they're getting people to buy in on the – like this will finally be the time the 49ers win. Look, man, the 49ers don't have Christian McCaffrey back yet. I don't know if – they may never get him back. You know, I'm hopeful, but we'll see. Things have looked shaky. You know, I think Jordan Mason kind of got a little dinged up in the last game, but I still think he's good to go. This was going to be a secret Bet Saracen pick for me. I was going to showcase it at the end. As much as I hate to do this, I like money. So, Chiefs, a +100 underdog on the road. Until the 49ers beat Patrick Mahomes, I am not going to bet money for them to do so. So, if you like money,
hold on.
+100
underdog. No. You cannot be a 49ers fan and then pick the Chiefs to win. That's not how this works.
No.
As a fan, you never bet against your team. That's not what you do.
First off, I'm not betting against my team.
You are.
You're fully believe that the 49ers will win. However, if I'm looking at it from a smart financial point of view, it makes more sense value-wise to put money on the Chiefs. That's the way the trend has gone.
Daniel, we need you to step in here and give your ruling on whether or not he's being a fake fan.
The 49ers are winning.
I would never bet whoever money line against the Chiefs. I would never do it.
I'm looking at it objectively in this case.
Objectively, I can see it, Riley, but it's the spirit of it, man. You can't go out and bet on your own, bet against your own
team. I'm not. I'm just telling the fans, hey, this is why that pick makes sense. That's all I'm saying.
If
the 49ers are going to win.
If it comes out next week that you bet against the 49ers, I'm gonna block you on Twitter.
Well, basically, Riley is saying, hey, folks, here is the reality of the situation is that the 49ers are worse than the Chiefs, so you should bet on the Chiefs because they're not even favored in this game somehow. So thank you, Riley, for just admitting what we all know, and that is that the Chiefs are better than the 49ers. All right.
Listen,
thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of Hogbeat Radio. Riley, appreciate your time. Daniel, as always, thank you for your time and your analysis, and we'll talk to everybody on Thursday. Probably going to be breaking down another top 10 win for the Razorbacks at Razorback Stadium. So stay tuned to Hogbeat Radio.